Welcome everybody to Lady Bits, your bite-sized, hard-to-find pieces of history about the women you've never heard of and the women you know and love. This past week on the Bit Tree of History, we covered Gurumai Chidvilasananda. On this Lady Bit, we have a member of our team here to talk some more about her.
Yeah. Hi, Max.
Hi, Sydney. Now, for those who might not know, why don't you tell everyone, first of all, what you do on the podcast?
I do the website and the sticker art and artistic needs.
Yeah. And you built our website.
I built the website.
From scratch.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Now, you texted me after the episode of Gurumai came out, saying that you have experiences with Gurumai.
I texted you and I was like, you know, I grew up in this organization. Like, right. I am a child of Siddha Yoga.
Yeah.
And I currently am not directly participating in anything going on there, but I did grow up in that organization environment, and I have some experience with Gurumai and just hearing her about her on the podcast, because I didn't really know about her backstory.
Right.
Because I had just grown up in the church, you know? Sure. It's not a church, but it's very similar. And I had grown up that way. So just hearing her backstory was very eye-opening and very interesting. And I mean, kudos to you for even pronouncing her last name, because I couldn't even do that. I couldn't do it.
It took a lot of Googling.
Yeah. Well, you nailed it.
Well, thank you.
And I just wanted to talk about it a little bit more.
Absolutely. So why don't, first of all, you start with your first experiences, what you remember growing up.
So I remember I grew up, my dad is Jewish, but barely. And my mom is Baptist, but barely.
Okay.
My grandmother actually is on my mom's side, is the daughter of a pastor. And when my grandma's mom passed away, or when my mom's mom passed away, they just decided to stop going to church. She didn't really identify with it. And then later in life, my grandmother found Siddha Yoga and kind of brought in her two daughters, my mom and my aunt.
Okay.
And so it's kind of been like a family affair. And growing up, I remember my mom kind of tried to find she wanted me to have a spiritual path. We tried different churches. We tried different spiritual centers. We tried synagogues, but nothing was really as inclusive and like worked for us the best that as did Siddha Yoga. And from what I remember, I went there from very, very young age, maybe five to about 12 or 13, you know, those preteen years where you start splitting off.
Right.
Every Sunday, and they have a beautiful kids service, and you basically go and have a little talk and sing a couple songs, and then you meditate for a while. And then there was a delicious vegan brunch that's organized by certain volunteers in the organization. And then we had arts and crafts time, and that was my Sunday. So my childhood was very rich in that aspect. And I really love my experience at Siddha Yoga. And I recall my experience with Gurumai was that I went to a convention, I guess you could say, at an ashram in Fallsburg, North Fallsburg or something.
What was the convention?
It's every so often Siddha Yoga has a mass convention, because everyone all over the world, there's so many people from every corner of the globe that participate or are involved in it. So it's kind of saying hey, if you want to come be with the community, come here at this time,
so
we'll all be here.
So it's an international thing you're going to. Wow.
And it's in New York. There's a big ashram there. It's upstate. And I went when I was about, 8 or 9. And I just remember there was a time in the convention where Gurumai was present. And it's this big hallway, big convention center, right? Yeah. And as she's walking, she's wearing this big orange robe, sari, this beautiful ornate thing, just screams
I'm a guru.
Yeah, guru. Guru chic, if you will. And she's walking through this crowd, and there is a space around her, and she's just walking with her hands in prayer, and looking everyone in the eye and being very centered.
Right.
And it was there's this magnetic force around her. It's everyone was afraid to get too close. But she just walks with like such majesty and like grace. And what she does is, I know she's been like out of the public eye for a while, but every year, every like new year on January 1st, she has the New Year's message where people in all the ashrams all around the world will come early in the morning at like 6 a.m., meditate and go through their normal morning service that they do. And then Guru Mai is like projected on a screen and she talks about the New Year's message. And what that is like, it could be honor the silence within, respect your mind, or whatever the message is like the centered focus for that year. I think
we mentioned that on that podcast, that like yearly message.
Like my mom goes every year.
Oh, okay.
And it kind of like sets you up. It's like a New Year's resolution for everybody.
What was it like being in a space with that many other people who were experiencing or practicing Siddha Yoga?
I mean, it's great because everyone's kind of on the same page and looking for the same kind of awakened being. It's hard to explain. Everyone's like searching for their own center. And it was nice being with a bunch of people who kind of speak the spiritual language and meditate, and it's very love and light. And it was just a very warm and welcoming and open place to grow up. And I really think that that set me up in the future for just like my way of being, trying to stay centered. And I still meditate when I am being very, very good. But I really appreciate my mom for instilling that spiritual path in me very young. It's not like people pray to Guru Mai. It's not like people look at her as some deity. She's just the leader.
Sure. Well, we mentioned in the podcast that the whole point was to have a guru so that they could help you unlock your spirit, the spiritual parts of you.
And I will say that I do remember, and like her presence is hard to explain. It's just like you immediately go inward when you're in her presence because of everything.
What do you mean by inward?
Inward. You check in with yourself as soon as you're in her space. Cause she just has a way of like bringing that out in you. Like she forces you to be accountable for your own awareness. At the very least, if you're going to be like at this convention, doing all of this stuff, at the very least, be aware of the energy that you're bringing, and you don't want to be the sourpuss in the meditation convention. Right. Like, so it really just elevated everyone's way of being. Mm. And a lot of her messages are very warm and valuable, and, you know, just checking in with yourself and quieting the mind and staying centered and staying present. And that's really what my experience was all about.
That's fantastic. Have you found something that's kind of filled that spiritual thing, or are you still finding that you're drawn to or drawing your ideas and your beliefs and the way that you focus on the world through Siddha Yoga still, or have it?
Well, I don't.
Has that grown into other ways?
I don't personally identify with the Siddha Yoga mission as an adult, but I will say that it did put me on the spiritual path, which led me to the University of Santa Monica, which is a spiritual psychology program.
Okay.
And I graduated from that program a couple years ago, which is, you know, I like to think it's like the same spiritual language, but a different dialect.
Sure.
So it did kind of awaken this curiosity of the human condition and the way, you know, you're a divine being having a human experience. And how do you move through this gracefully and take the lessons that you can and see the loving essence in everyone around you and just trying to uplift the human condition and what's your part in that, and how you show up for yourself is how you show up for others. And, you know, be the light, be, as Maya Angelou says, be the rainbow in someone's cloud. The foundation of Siddha Yoga was incredibly amazing, foundational, awesome, and really set me up for the rest of my life. So I know that Guru Mai has this kind of tumultuous story and a lot of scandal, especially with her brother and all that, which I didn't even know until I listened to the podcast. It was so eye-opening for me, but I wouldn't take what I learned for granted. And You know, she's a human person.
Yeah, I think that was part of our conversation, our text conversation after that, is that, you know, one of the things that doing bitchery just as a whole has taught me is that, you know, no one is one thing. No one person is one thing completely.
I actually found it incredibly refreshing because sometimes we look at these leaders of organization or church or company or corporation.
Yeah.
And idolize them as if they can do no wrong.
Yeah.
However, they are born of the human flesh.
Right.
And, you know,
they are star stuff just as much as I am.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, you know, if Guru Mai can lead a spiritual awakening nation of a bunch of people with her cloudy past, I can meditate for 5 minutes.
Sure. Yeah. Fair. Yeah. All right. Well, do you have that's a great closing thought, but did you have anything final that you wanted to say? Any thoughts?
Just that I would close on two things. Mm-hmm. One is like, don't be afraid to find like the therapy to go through the hard things that create healing, to look at the hard stuff in your own lives or backstories, because that's where the healing lies. And the hardest stuff is the stuff that needs healing the most. Mm. So that's important.
Amen.
And also, if you are like on a spiritual path, don't give up on it. You know, it's an ongoing journey. And sometimes it's like the hardest thing in the world to sit down and meditate for 5 minutes, but it makes all the difference in the world when you do it. So just... Mm. It's important to be kind to yourself and stay open-minded. And as my mom would say, take the best and leave the rest.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
I'm looking forward to our trip to the ashram.
Yes, we are going.
Later this month. Next month.
Next month.
Yes, ma'am.
Because you want to go and I haven't been in years.
Yeah. You know, I realized that I had never been into a Hindu temple of any kind before.
It's not a Hindu temple. Mm-hmm. It's like a meditation center with a lot of like Buddhism and Hinduism worked in.
I've never been to any, that either. Yeah. Never been to any of them.
It smells amazing. Excited. You're going to love it.
I'm even more excited now.
Incense for days.
Yeah. Again, thank you so much.
It's an honor and a privilege.
Audience, if you'd like to see Sydney's work, you can check out our website. She built that thing from scratch.
And stickers.
It's amazing.
Also, buy stickers.
Did we say your full name at the beginning
Sydney
of the podcast?
Sydney Tannenbaum.
Sydney Tannenbaum. Yeah. It means Christmas tree.
In German.
Yeah.
I mean, technically it means fir tree, but
close enough.
Christmas tree is more fun.
Amen. All right.
Amen.
Well, see you later.
Okay, bye. I don't know. How do you end these things?
I don't know.
And cut.
Yeah, bye.